please take your Bibles and turn with me now. We're in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 14 again this morning. This time we're in verses 13 through 21. Matthew 14, verses 13 through 21. Our message series is called Miracles and Controversy. And today we come to one of Jesus's, really one of his most famous miracles of all, the feeding of the 5,000. In fact, this is the only one of Jesus' miracles, other than the resurrection, of course, but the only one of his miracles that is recorded in all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, only miracle of Jesus recorded in all of the Gospels. It's interesting, as with all of Jesus' miracles, you've always got skeptics, right? And skeptics have come up with all sorts of excuses to try and explain away this miracle. Some say that, well, Jesus, he was just setting the example. And when he gave the example of sharing the bread with the other people, everybody else in the crowd said, oh, well, we should share our bread with others too. And so they just shared the bread with each other. And that's how the crowd was fed. Others say, well, no, this was just a symbolic meal. And yeah, they passed the bread out, but everyone just took a little bite from the bread. And so it was more symbolic than an actual miracle. There are even people who claim that Jesus had all of the extra bread hidden in a cave behind him. And so as he's breaking the bread, he's just like, bringing out the bread. And that's how he did the miracle, right? Of course, that's not how the Bible describes this at all. And unless we're going to accuse Jesus or the gospel writers of deception, we should simply accept Matthew's presentation here, that Jesus here is performing a miracle over nature. A miracle over nature. We saw that that was one of the types of miracles that Christ performed when we looked at 10 miracles of Jesus earlier in the Gospel of Matthew. Here Jesus was miraculously providing enough food for everybody, for the whole multitude, from just the few loaves and fishes that were at his disposal. And you know what? If God could create an entire universe out of nothing, he's not going to have any problem creating some bread out of some other bread, right? It's really not a problem for God at all. So we're in Matthew 14 this morning. We're going to look at verses 13 through 21. We're going to read verses 15 to 18 as we get started. Please stand with me for the reading of God's word. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. This is God's holy word. Let us pray. Well, dear Lord, as we look at this, a wonderful miracle, it's a story many of us learned when we were still children. Lord, I pray that we would not only marvel at your amazing power, but we would see how these truths apply to our lives in very practical ways this morning as well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. One of the most important principles you will learn in the Christian life is to give things over to God. To give things over to God. Do you have a problem in your life? Give it to God. Do you have an opportunity? Give it to God. Are you concerned about the future? Give it to God. Are you distressed about the past? Give it to God. Are there people in your life whom you love and care for? Give them to God in prayer. Has God blessed you with something? Commit it to God and his glory. Everything you have comes from God. And when you try to hold on to those things, right, for your own purposes, you will never discover the full potential that you have when you give it over to God instead. So this morning, I want us to look at this principle of giving things to God. I wanted to look at this principle in light of this miracle that Jesus performs here with the loaves and the fishes. And I believe that there is so much more that God can do, that God wants to do, that God will do with each of our lives if we will simply learn this principle, this very basic principle of giving things over to God. Amen? Let's get started then. The first thing I want us to see from our passage this morning is God's compassion. God's compassion. God has compassion on you. And you know what? If you're going to give things over to God, you must first learn to trust God, right? And the best way to trust God is to see His compassion. God has compassion on you, and we see this very clearly through the actions of Jesus in our passage. First of all, we see that Jesus needed some time to Himself, okay? Look at verse 13 with me. Jesus needed some time to Himself. When Jesus heard what had happened, He withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed Him on foot from the towns. So Jesus had been busy preaching and teaching and healing the people. And then when He hears about Herod, that's what we looked at last week, and all the rumors being spread about Him, He says, you know what? I need some time. He gets in a boat. He withdraws to a solitary place. You know, we all need quiet time to ourselves, right? I remember when Rosie and I were young parents, our three boys were especially active and loud in those years, right? And one time I just grabbed Rosie's arm and said, follow me, follow me. And we snuck out to the backyard and around the corner. And we just sat down with our backs against the house. And it was so peaceful. It was quiet. We whispered. We laughed. We wondered how long it's going to take the boys to notice and find us. 5 minutes. 5 minutes. That's all it took. They can run around. What are you guys doing out here and all that? But boy, what a nice 5 minutes that was, right? Well, that's similar to what happens here, right? Jesus withdraws by boat. He's going to get some quiet time away from the crowds. What do the crowds do? They just follow Him around the lake, right? Jesus doesn't even get 5 minutes. When He gets off the boat, the crowd's right there waiting for Him. So what does He do? He has compassion on the people. Look at verse 14. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, He had compassion on them and healed their sick. So much for some quiet time and rest. I'm guessing Jesus and His disciples got their much-needed quiet time and rest later. But for now, when Jesus lands, when He sees the crowds, He sets aside His own plans and He ministers to the needs of the people instead. And why does He do this? Matthew tells us why. Because He had compassion on them. You know, if you are not a Christian this morning, if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, do you know how God looks at you? Perhaps you think that God is just angry with you, or that He desires to punish you, or maybe you think God doesn't even notice you at all, that you're just flying under His radar, that He doesn't even care. But the truth is this: God has compassion on you. He has compassion on you. You know, the parallel passage to this in the Gospel of Mark says it this way. It says, He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so He began teaching them many things. God has compassion on you. He sees you as a sheep in need of a shepherd. And He longs to be that shepherd for you in your life. You know, there are a lot of parallels between the feeding of the 5,000 here in Matthew chapter 14 and Psalm 23 in the Old Testament. That psalm we read earlier, the psalm that begins, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Think about it. In Psalm 23, what does David do as he writes the psalm? He describes the Lord as his shepherd who guides him, who leads him to rest, who lays him down in green pastures, and provides for all of his needs. And isn't that exactly what Jesus does for the people here in Matthew 14? He has compassion on them. He guides them. He teaches them. He sits them down in the green grass. And then he provides for their needs. Is that you this morning? Are you like a sheep without a shepherd? Please know this. God has compassion on you. And he offers himself to you to be your shepherd and to guide you in life. So that's the first thing we learned from our passage this morning. God has compassion on you. He loves you, which means you can trust him with everything you have. It all came from him in any ways. You can trust him with it. You can give it to God. The second thing we learned from our passage is this. When God asks you to do something, you can do it. When God asks you to do something, you can do it. When God calls, he enables. Now, you may not be able to do it in your own strength, right? But with God's help, you can. When God asks, you can do it, because God would not ask you if you could not with his help. There are a couple of things under this point I want us to note together. First of all, where does it begin? You need to be aware of people's needs. You need to be aware of people's needs. God's two big commands in the Bible, right? Real simple. Love God, love people, right? We can all memorize that. Those are the two big commands. Love God, love people. And so when God asks you to do something, it most likely will have something to do with people's needs. With people's needs. Look at verse 15 with me now. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place. It's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus had been teaching and healing the people for some time, and now it's late in the day. They're in a faraway place, and the disciples realize that, you know, hey, the people need to eat, right? They're getting hungry. They've got to eat. And the disciples, they still don't understand all of God's plan in this yet, but at least they did one thing here, right? They recognized the need. They were aware of the need. And folks, this is where ministry and mission, this is where it all begins. You need to be aware of people's needs around you, and then you look for ways to meet those needs. So be aware. Get to know the people that God has placed in your life. Whether at school or at work or in your neighborhood or in the community at large, ask God to open your eyes to people's needs and then begin to look for ways to meet those needs. Be aware of people's needs. And then secondly, focus on the task, not on the obstacles. Okay? Focus on the task, not the obstacles. Look at verses 16 and 17 now. Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. The disciples recognized the need. They asked Jesus about it, and Jesus told them, "You do it. You take care of it. You give them something to eat." But instead of saying, "Okay, Lord, if you've asked us to do it, then we can do it. You know, if you're telling us to do it, just show us how. We'll do it," right? Immediately, what do? They start raising objections. They say, "We can't do that. We can't feed them. All we have is we got 5 loaves of bread here. We got 2 fish. We cannot possibly feed so many with so little." It was an impossible task, and they were focused on what? On the obstacles, rather than obedience to the task. And isn't that so easy for us to do as well? God calls us to do something big. You know, like reach our community for Christ, okay? That's big, right? God calls us to do that. And we get all hung up because we're looking at the obstacles instead of the task. Remember, when God asks you to do something, you can do it. Otherwise, he would never have asked you. So what do you do when God asks you to do something that is clearly beyond your means, beyond your ability? You bring what you have to Jesus. Disciples told Jesus, hey, we've only got 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish. And what did Jesus say in response? Look at verse 18. Bring them here to me. He said, bring them. Okay, you don't have a lot, bring it to me. You know, if you don't have all of the necessary resources to do what God has called you to do, then bring whatever resources you do have to Jesus. The disciples, they were focused on what they did not have, what they didn't have, right? What they didn't have was enough bread to feed the crowd. Jesus directed their attention instead to what they did have. 5 loaves, 2 fish. Doesn't sound like a whole lot, does it? That's because it isn't. But you know what? That's okay. When God asks you to do something, you can do it. So be aware of people's needs. Focus on the task, not the obstacles. Bring what you do have to Jesus. Because you know what? And this is our third principle. You can do anything with God. You can do anything with God. God has no limits. God is not confined by your lack of resources. When God asks you to do something, you can do it because you can do anything with God. Now, don't misunderstand me here. I'm not saying that you can do anything you want to do with God, okay? I'm not saying you can do anything you want, because you might have a lot of great ideas of things that you want to do, right? No, I'm saying you can do anything God wants. You can do anything God wants with God. You can do anything God asks you to do. So what do? When God asks you to do something, but you do not have the resources to do it? 2 things. First of all, you commit it to God. Look at verse 19. And Jesus directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks. He broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. So the disciples gave what they had to Jesus. Jesus directed the people to sit down on the grass. He took the loaves and the fishes. He thanked God for the resources at hand, and he committed it all to God in prayer. And that's what we need to do, folks. We need to do the same. We need to take whatever it is that God has already given us, and we commit it to him. We pray over it. We trust him to use it for his purposes. Commit it to God, and then what's the second thing you do? Let God do his work. Let God do what he's going to do. Look at verses 20 and 21 now. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. And here at the end of the passage, in just a few short verses, we finally get to the miracle, right? Everything else was just a prelude leading up to this. Notice how the miracle is described, just a few sparse words. We're not told how Jesus did what he did. We're not even told, when did the bread begin to multiply? Did the people see the bread multiplying? Did they see it popping out? We don't know that, right? Did Jesus just keep on breaking pieces off of loaves that never got any smaller? We don't know. We're not told. But what we are told is this, is everyone ate their fill. That word satisfied there in verse 42, they all ate and were satisfied. It's a word that means filled up, okay? This is the word that you use to describe yourself after Thanksgiving dinner, right? When you've had far more food than you probably should have, and then you went for dessert as well, you are filled up. You are completely satisfied. You're stuffed. That's what everyone did here. Everyone ate until they were full. And even then, there's still 12 baskets left over. They had more food at the end than they had at the beginning. It's amazing. Matthew tells us that the number of those who ate were 5,000 men plus the additional women and children who were there. So even though traditionally we call this miracle the feeding of the 5,000, clearly there were many more people there than that. Well, who knows? Jesus may have fed as many as 15 to 20,000 people that day with 5 loaves, 2 fishes. Folks, this is an amazing miracle. And especially when you compare it to other miracles of feeding that we find in the Bible. Did you know there are other miracles of feeding in the Bible? For example, during a time of famine in the Old Testament, the prophet Elijah fed himself, a widow, and her son, all from a single jar of flour and a single jug of oil that did not run out until the famine was over. That was a pretty neat miracle. I like that one. Later on, a different prophet named Elisha, he was Elijah's successor, Elisha fed 100 men from 20 loaves of bread. And we're told they all ate and they had some left over. That was a neat miracle too. But Jesus' miracle here outshines them all. Jesus fed a crowd of 5,000 men plus women and children from just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. The Gospel of John compares it to God feeding the people of Israel manna in the wilderness, another amazing feeding miracle. And Jesus used this miracle in the Gospel of John to present himself as the bread of life that comes down from heaven to give life to the world. What do you do when God asks you to do something that you can't do? Give it to God and then let God do his work. Think about David in the Old Testament, right? David had what? A slingshot and 5 small stones when he went up against Goliath. It wasn't enough on his own, but with God's help, Goliath went down. Because you can do anything with God. In closing, let me ask you, what is God asking you? What is God asking you to do these days? Has God laid a certain ministry idea upon your heart? Is he calling you to a closer walk with him? Is he calling you to serve or get involved in the church? What needs do you see around you that need to be filled? How might God be asking you to fill those needs? Maybe you do not have the necessary resources to do what God is asking you to do. No matter, when God asks you to do something, you can do it. Focus on the task, not the obstacles. And then bring whatever resources you do have to Jesus. You can do anything with God. So give it to God and let God do his work. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you so much for this amazing miracle. Even when we were children, I'm sure so many of us just loved this story and this miracle. But Lord, as adults, as we begin to realize the applications of this and what you are trying to teach us and how you can guide us even this morning by your Holy Spirit through your word to newer and greater things for you in this new year. Lord, we commit ourselves to you anew. Lord, we want to be obedient. Lord, we want to be aware of people around us and what they need. Physical needs, spiritual needs. We know that everyone without Christ needs salvation. They need the gospel. And Lord, we want to open ourselves up to you and to the people around us and say, God, use me. Use me. I don't have a lot to give, but Lord, I give myself to you. Take me like the loaves and the fishes and multiply. Multiply what I can do for you and your kingdom. Lord, help that to be our daily prayer moving into this year. Use me, Lord, use me. And God, I know that that is a prayer that you long to answer in our lives, long to answer in our personal lives, long to answer in us as a church. And so, Lord, we ask you this morning, use us. Use us for your kingdom. Use us in new ways that we may not even have thought of yet for this year. Use us, Lord, to meet the needs of people around us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.